this morning. I want to greet the fathers especially this morning. I appreciate you and the good work that you do. And all of you that have fathers still living, I want you to make sure that you appreciate them and let them know that you appreciate them. It's a real privilege to still have them around because, let me tell you, you won't always have them around, and you need to let them know how much you appreciate them while they still are around, rather than waiting and regretting the fact that you didn't tell them how much you appreciated them when you could. In the sixth chapter of the book of Galatians, we see a pattern for dealing with Christians when they sin. It's easy for us sometimes to think of there being a singular pattern in the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew, which I do believe is a pattern for dealing with our brothers when they sin. I think in the sixth chapter of the book of Galatians, there is another pattern for us to use, and I think sometimes it is overlooked. I want us to look at this morning because I think it is very valuable with some information that can help us as we look at it and as we can understand more about some of the attitudes that we ought to possess and as we ought to utilize when we're dealing with sin that develops in the congregation in which we are. I believe that it is talking about sin within our brotherhood because it is talking to Christians, and it does describe, brethren, if anyone is caught in a trespass. Even though it says anyone, or when it talks about any man, literally, it's using the word, the general word for any human is caught in a trespass. I think the context bears the idea that it is talking about someone who is among the group of people that is being discussed. So I think that we can learn a lot about how that we can deal with people in who are caught up in sin, because sadly, this is an occasion that happens from time to time. And also sadly, sometimes it is a situation in which we wait for other people to step up and do something about it rather than handling it ourselves. It's easy to let the elders take care of sin. It's easy to let someone else who we think of as being better equipped to handle it take care of it, rather than doing, as we see described here, something that might be able to help a situation when we know of something that is going wrong. In the first verse of chapter 6, it says, "Brethren, if anyone is caught in a trespass..." And you notice the idea behind it is, again, it describes the person who is caught in a trespass as if they've stumbled or they have been caught in a trap, rather than they have become an enemy or a traitor to the cause of Christ. It is a device, I think, to let us understand that we're not talking about someone, again, who has become an enemy or a traitor or a rebel. It is an assumption that the person wants to do the right thing, but has somehow stumbled into something that is wrong. That's not always the case. Sometimes we do find out that people who are Christians sometimes fall away to the point that they become rebels to the cause of Christ. Sometimes they have given up and decided that they are going to be enemies of the cause of Christ. But I think the assumption that we need to give to any brother who is caught up in a trespass is that they are wanting to do the right thing. And I think that's the assumption that is given here in this particular passage. And then I think we ought to approach anyone who we find as a brother or sister of Christ in who is found in a situation that we know of that is sinful. It describes, first of all, that when we find that situation to be the case, we who are spiritual need to be the ones who take care of it. Now, you'd say, well, who else would take care of something like that? Well, I think sometimes you find there being all other kinds of motives that people can use to deal with sin. Sometimes you have people that just like to fight, that go after someone who is caught up in a trespass. You ever known people that just almost for recreation love to be belligerent? I think there are some people who are like that, who are belligerent by nature, who love to fight. It comes to them by second nature. Those that are spiritual, it needs to be a spiritual motivation that causes somebody to approach a brother who has been caught up in a trespass. It also needs to be someone who is not just trying to show their spiritual superiority by saying, gotcha. And I think, frankly, there are some people I've known over the course of my lifetime who almost love to play spiritual gotcha with other people. Gotcha. I finally found something that I can hold over your head because after all, this shows that I have spiritual points that you don't have. You've done wrong. I'm done right. This puts me higher on the spiritual totem pole than you. Nope. This is a job for the spiritual, not for those who are playing spiritual games. And frankly, this is not a job for those that are just out to fix you. You know, there are some people who that's kind of their job. They're people who in any kind of situation are looking to be in a situation to where, you know, well, you are. You need to do this. You need to do this differently, or you need to do this differently. You know, there are some people who always are out to shift somebody. You know, if you do something different, you know, sometimes you can waste your ammunition with people if they think that you are always trying to fix them. And here you have a situation to where some people, as fixers, kind of ruin their reputation with somebody who may be caught up into sin by somebody saying, you know, well, here I'm trying to fix you. You know, you need to do this, and you'll be right as far as this is concerned. Man, if sin is involved, that's not the approach to take with it. You need to deal with it somewhat differently. This is not a fix you kind of situation. This is a situation for the truly spiritual. And with someone's spiritual motives involved. So I think as we deal with somebody who is caught up in sin, we need to evaluate ourselves first to make sure that we're not just dealing with perfection on our part, that we're not dealing with motives that are gotcha on our part that we're not dealing with belligerent personality on our part, but we're dealing with an attitude of truly wanting to make sure that spirituality is restored to this person and restored to the congregation as well. You'll notice also it talks about dealing also with those that are spiritual, restore such a one. The idea behind dealing with sin is hopefully to restore such a one, not to write them off. I think some people look at it in that way. That here, you know, you're caught. We've got you. And this is a mark that's gonna last forever with you. And we want you to know that we finally got you pegged. Purpose is not also to be able to cut somebody off. You know, when you get a paper cut, my hope would be that your first impulse is not to say, well, you know, because I've got a paper cut, and because it might get infected, and because the infection might become gangrenous, and because a gangrenous finger might become rotten, and because a rotten finger might need to be cut off, I need to cut off this finger with a paper cut. If you do that, you're not going to have any fingers. You know what we need to do if we find someone who has been caught in a trespass? Our first approach always ought to be to restore them because they're part of the body. Restoration needs to be our approach, and it needs to be the approach taken by the spiritual. Evaluate yourself. Make sure that your motives are spiritual. Make sure that your purpose is nothing else but the restoration of the person involved. You notice even in 1 Corinthians 5, when they're dealing with a man that they have to, according to the Apostle Paul, withdraw themselves from. The purpose was not just so that they might be able to have a more tidy church directory, but the purpose was so that they might be able to restore this man by letting him understand that he had cut himself off from God and therefore did not have a right to fellowship with them in the local level. And fortunately, we're able to see in 2 Corinthians 1 that it had the desired objective, desired result. That's what we need to think about as we think about this type of approach toward a brother in sin. You notice he also talks about the idea of doing so in a spirit of gentleness. Gentleness is a word that it's translated in some of the older translations as meekness. And I think the word in our translations really hits somewhere in the middle between the word that we use for meekness and the word we use for gentleness, because I think both ideas are involved. Meekness, we understand, carries with it the idea of humility. And we need to make sure that we do so with a spirit of humility in approaching someone. That's probably one of the reasons that a lot of people don't approach somebody who's caught up in a trespass is because they're afraid of looking like Mr. Smarty Pants, aren't you? You know, you don't want to look like you're better than somebody else. You don't want to look like you're looking down your nose at somebody else. That's really a bad thing in our culture. And so often we don't do anything. Because after all, you don't want somebody to think that you're trying to act better than they are. And certainly, we don't want that to be the case. But there are people who are going to think that. We just don't want that to be the case. But I think there's also a sense in which one can do the right thing in a spirit of humility and a spirit of gentleness with other people. People aren't going to necessarily like a message in which they are told that they are wrong. That's the crime in our culture. Nothing is wrong except for telling other people they're wrong. But one of the things that we can do is we can deal with other people as calmly as possible. And we can deal with other people as softly as possible. And we can deal with people as lovingly as possible, letting them understand that this isn't something that we're doing because we hate them, but because we love them. And we want them to understand that this is a... we want them to be able to go to heaven, and this is why we're doing this. Talk to them like they're easily broken. Talk to them like you'd talk to a child. Talk to them like you would talk to, I start to say like you'd talk to your wife, but talk to them like you'd talk to your wife if you really, really didn't want to hurt her feelings. You see, make sure that you're in a situation in which your gentleness is something that is evident to everyone concerned. Talk to them like you're supposed to talk to your wife. Do you see? That's the idea behind this approach here. In a spirit of gentleness. And then as the verse ends, it says, looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Realizing that you too could be caught up in that same situation. There but for the grace of God go I. You know, there's hardly any situation that somebody can be caught up in that it couldn't have been you, where the circumstance is just a little bit different. Just a little bit different. And you need to let them understand that. And you need to let them understand, and you need to understand that. It's not that this person is a moral reprobate, it's just that they were in a situation that was different than the situations that you were in. And you want to do everything that you can to try to restore them to spiritual welfare. And you need to make sure also that if you're talking to somebody about a situation, that it's not a situation that you're caught up in too. You remember in Matthew the 7th chapter when it's talking about judge not that you will not be judged, not that you will not be judged. Here the idea is, if you're trying to pick a speck out of someone's eye, make sure that you don't have a log in your eye. What a drastic illustration. Can you imagine at the sawmill picking sawdust out of somebody's eyelash? Oh, excuse me. Let me help you, friend. You've got a piece of sawdust in your eyelash. Let me help you. And you turn around and the guy who's trying to help you has a log in his eye. I want a second opinion. I want somebody else helping me. Somebody who can see a little bit better than this guy who's got a log in his eye. If you're doing the same thing that this guy is doing, you really don't have any credibility to be able to help the guy who is criticizing you for the very same practice. Do you see? You need to look to yourself so that you will not be tempted. Make sure you're not doing that, and make sure that you're not tempted to do it. Do you see? There's certain kinds of things built into this one verse, chock full in this one verse, that mean you just don't go in half-cocked when you're dealing with someone who has fallen into sin. You have to give it a lot of thought. You have to give it a lot of care and concern. In verse 2, it says, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Once you've done that, you need to do everything you can to try to help somebody get out of the mess that they've gotten themselves into. You need to try to help them. Try to make sure that the restoration that you have encouraged is one that you try to help them gain. Pray for them, but also be somebody who's encouraging them. We talked about Barnabas in the last Saturday was a week ago in our men's breakfast. And he was a fellow who vouched for Saul. Saul had been bad. Saul had repented, made things right. Here was Barnabas that was interested in helping him make things right. We need to be interested in helping people make things right. We need to bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. In verse 3, it says, if anyone thinks that he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. In the whole process of this, of bringing others to repentance, again, we have to guard against pride, because it's so easy for Christians to be proud of what they have done. The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis is an interesting read because it reverses everything. It is a fiction work in which you have everything reversed. Two demons are talking to one another about trying to work on an individual to make sure that he goes to hell. God is described as the enemy. Everything in this story in which one demon is working on this subject and trying to get advice from an older demon is trying to make sure that everything works out to the disadvantage of this particular individual. So as Screwtape and Wormwood correspond with one another, the whole purpose is to make sure that this individual goes to hell. Over the course of the correspondence, the individual who they're working on becomes a Christian. Oh, the demon in charge gets so upset. But the older demon says, listen, don't worry. All is not lost. Because you know what? Now the whole task changes. Now we can work to try to make him proud of it. You've made him, he's become a Christian, but if you can make him proud of being a Christian, then you can still have hope of making him go to hell. You see, it's so easy for us sometimes to think of ourselves as something when we're nothing and deceive ourselves. Even as we try to work with other people and try to help them be restored to faithfulness. In verses 4 and 5, it says, "But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone." Again, even that passage, I don't think, is trying to encourage us to boast about any conquest or any person that we've brought back to Christ. But he said, "And not in regard to another, but each one will bear his own load." The idea behind it is the whole purpose of us working to help one another is so that we can all be the kind of people we need to be so that we can stand alone, so that we can do our job as Christians. The purpose is not to always be in the position to where you need the aid and assistance of someone else, but so that you can stand and do the job that God gave us to do as Christians. In fact, part of that job is to try to restore those who have fallen. That's just your job. But as we bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ, we put ourselves in a position to bear our own load. As someone it falls and stumbles into a trespass, they may need someone to help them bear their burden. But then what is the purpose? So that they can bear their own load, and that they can help someone who has fallen into a trespass. And that they then, as they help someone else bear their burden, can put them in a position where they can bear their own load. A lot of times in congregations, you have people who bear their own load, and you've got some people who are always getting by simply because other people are carrying them. That's not the way it was intended to be. People are intended to stop sinning. People are intended to stand on their own hind legs. People are intended to become strong again and expected to be. People are intended to bear their own load. And that's the goal of dealing with people and Christians who sin, is to help them come to the point where they bear their own burden. And that's where we need to help them develop. Not just rebuke them. And when they don't get to the point where we want them to be within the time that we think they ought to be, dump them. We need to get them to where they can stand and encourage them to stand and make them, help them stand and get them to the point where they can stand alone. And then they'll be in a position to where they can help others to stand. Now that's a tough work. It's tough to deal with people who have been caught up in a trespass. It's hard to say anything to them. But that's what we're supposed to do. It's hard to stick with people who we've approached and worked with. But that's what we're supposed to do. It's hard to help people bear their burdens, but that's what we're supposed to do. It's hard to help them bear their own loads and get them to the point where they stand independently, but that's what we're supposed to do. In verse 9 of the same chapter, It says, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we'll reap if we don't grow weary. Nobody said this Christianity business was going to be easy. But it will be worthwhile. And our task is to not just utilize this individualism that we learn as Americans and think, well, you know, I'm in it for myself. But to recognize the cooperative effort that we are involved in. And to realize that none of us will make it alone. And that we need to help other people in this effort that we are engaged in. Brethren, even if anyone's caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. Are there those here this morning who would like to lay aside that burden of sin and become a child of God? Are you caught up in all kinds of trespasses? We haven't talked about what you need to do, but you need to lay your burdens at the Lord's feet. We'd love to help you in that. Several lately have done that. If you want to do that, you can come in faith and show it through repentance and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we can baptize you into Christ this very morning. If you as a child of God have been caught up in a trespass, we'd be glad to help restore you to what you need to be and help you in the ways that we've described this morning. To be able to, through helping you bear your burden, to let you be someone who gets to the point where you can bear your own burden. But you're going to have to help in that regard. But you've got a group of people who are willing to help you in any way to be able to stand on your own feet and be able to do what God would have you to do. Think about these things, and if we can help anyone as they make things right this